Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Today, women's rights activists are marking Black Women's Equal Pay Day. August 7th was chosen because it takes Black women 7 extra months to make the same amount white men earn in a year.
Tanisha White from Apopka, Florida. I'm a young Black professional with a bachelor's degree and over a decade of accounting experience. The most eye-opening experience I had with discrimination in pay was when I found out a few years ago that my colleague, with no college education and little experience working as an accounts receivable clerk, was making over $10,000 more than I did, who was working as a full-cycle accountant for the same company. But no worries. My grandmother always told me growing up that we always have to work twice as hard and be twice as smart just to get half as much as the white man.
On average, Black women like Denisha there earn about 63 cents to every dollar earned by a white non-Hispanic man. But this issue isn't unique to Black women. Other women of color fare even worse. Latinas, for example, make about 54 cents to every dollar earned by a white man. And here to talk about the gender pay gap for women of color in this country is Shonda Childers. Shonda is a senior research scientist at the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Shonda, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What are some of the long-term implications of this pay inequity?
Well, when you look at African-American women specifically, we find that more than a quarter of African-American women fall below the poverty line. We know that women generally are 3 times more likely than men to work in occupations that would leave a family of 4 below the poverty line. We also know that if we were to get pay equity, if you were to pay women the same as men with similar education, working similar number of hours, taking into account those things that people point to, that the poverty rate for working women could be cut in half. And that means all the children in those families would also be lifted above poverty. And so you're not only improving the economic status of the working women, that's going to have a multi-generational effect. That means that women have more money to save for their retirement. It means they have more money to pay off their student loans. I mean, we see for Black women specifically one of the, you know, largest increases in college attainment. So they're paid less when they're even coming out of college with their bachelor's degrees. And they have student loan debt. So that's important for all of those reasons.
So there was a report that you contributed to, which is called The Status of Black Women in the United States. And an interesting point that came up in this report is that there are more Black women small business owners. Is that a bright spot?
It is. And it also points to another area that we need to address the issue. So we've seen that Black women, their rate of starting a small business increased like 178%. So we've seen a huge increase in Black women starting their own businesses. The point of concern there is, one, they're not having access to the same amount of startup capital. They don't have access to the same amount of credit that white males who start businesses get, or any other group for that matter. They're not getting access to the same amount of credit, startup capital. And it also points us to why are, you know, Black women starting businesses at this rate? And part of that points to either difficulties being able to find employment or an inability to balance traditional work with family.
Shonda Childers is a senior research scientist at the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Shonda, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.